bold, and that's one word that God has given me, particularly for today, is that we're going to be thinking about baptism and about what it is to be bold. And that was a great example, an illustration of how you took that step. So that was great, as the other people did. But it was great that you took that step, Jerry, particularly. So we're really encouraged to think about baptism, what it means, but more importantly, what it means to know Christ. And this is the last in our series of knowing God as we move on to growing and going. And we're going to be thinking about what it means to know Christ, particularly this morning. Let me just pray, and then we're going to watch a video. And just a warning, it's not particularly that serious a video, okay? So you're allowed to kind of relax a little bit for a couple of minutes. But it illustrates a point, so we're going to pray. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us by name, that we are your children, that we are not alone, that you walk with us, that you enable us to have courage and boldness through the Spirit by the work of Christ, and we can know you through the love of the Father. So we thank you this morning that as we come here and we celebrate baptism, that reminder of what it is to be in Christ, that this morning we come and we celebrate your goodness to us. And so we pray now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us very clearly through your word. Help me as I come in my weakness to know your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're under the age of 30, just be thankful that there's no adverts like that anymore. We're going to be thinking a bit about what it means to know Christ this morning. And what I want us to think about is, first of all, is are you dead or alive? Are you dead or alive? Now, why did I show that Dad's doorstep challenge? Because it can be easy for us in life to think that Christianity is just all about being morally good. That actually being a Christian is just about whether you're getting it right or not, whether your whites are white enough or not. So that you look at your whites and you might say, oh, well, it's a bit, there's a few marks on that and that's a bit messy and maybe I'm not good enough for God. And so our Christian faith becomes about proving whether we're truly good enough for God and morally right. And there are many other religions and other people who would look to try and prove themselves to their God or to other people as whether they're white enough. But the issue and the key difference with knowing Christ is that it isn't just about whether we're white enough, whether we're pure enough, although that's absolutely key and central in terms of holiness. And we'll come on to that in a moment. But Louis Giglio puts this well when he says that God did not come to make bad people good, but dead people alive. And the reality is that we are born spiritually dead, that we are lost and dead in our trespasses, and that we cannot know Christ because we are dead. And so in order for us to really know Christ, we need to come alive. We need to have a resurrection. We need to be taken from death to life. It's not about just becoming a little bit better. It's about having a total and utter transformation and new life. It's not just about becoming good. And in order to illustrate that this morning, I want us to think about what it means to be bold and do that from Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 6. What does it mean to be bold in knowing Christ this morning? Well, first of all, what I mean by be bold is that there's, firstly, be is to be baptized into Christ. As we've seen this morning, that Joy and Martin and Jerry have been baptized into Christ. So Romans 6, 3 to 4 says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So that baptism reminds us that we are baptized into Christ. And that very strong image of what it is to go down into the grave, to be buried, and yet to be raised to life. is this incredible picture that God did not just come to make bad people good, but came to make dead people alive. And so that resurrection needs to take place in our life. And maybe we're here this morning and we don't know Jesus and we're spiritually dead. We need to be resurrected to life, to have that personal relationship and walk with Christ, to come from the dead to life. And we're told that we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. So that being a Christian is seeing that we ourselves sin, that we mess up, that we do wrong, that we're rebellious towards God, that ultimately we choose to love other things more than Christ. Yet, we can die to self because Christ has died in order that we might have life. And so we die that death with him in baptism, that reminder, and that we're raised to life, that we might have new life. So that when we trust in Jesus, we have that new life. The old has gone, the new has come. The old has gone, and the new has come. We move from death to life. But being bold is also about being one with Christ. Verses 5 to 7 say, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Now, one of the most absolutely key things for us to understand in knowing Christ is that we have union with Christ, that we have union with Christ. So this means that we, in being separated from God because of our sin and our death, are no longer separated from God. There's no longer that disunity, but that we're now unified with Christ, that we have that union with him. And that is so important in terms of us understanding our own identity, that it isn't just about us going around doing our own thing and Jesus is somewhere over there and my faith is somewhere over there, but actually that when we die and we come alive in Christ, we are a new creation, no longer under condemnation, that we are new in Christ, that we have that union with Christ, that we are united together with Christ. And so it completely changes our perspective of what it is to have an identity, that our identity is seen as being in Christ. So we united with him in his death, in verse 5, but we're also united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, I think there's a really key point to make here regarding sin, is that you could call yourself a Christian here this morning, and yet you see yourself as a dirty, rotten sinner. You might say something like, "Well, I'm just an unworthy, dirty, rotten sinner, and I just mess up all the time, and I'm just such a rotten, dirty sinner." Or you could see yourself as Christ sees you, as being righteous, as being righteous in Christ. And so much of our guilt is based upon the fact that we don't see ourselves as righteous in Christ. We just see ourselves as a dirty, rotten sinner who keeps messing things up. But the key thing is that what Christ's work did on the cross was not just to forgive us, which is absolutely amazing and key, is that we were forgiven for those sins past, but that Christ's death on the cross broke the power of sin upon those who trust in Christ, those who believe in Christ. Christ's death on the cross broke the chains of sin on our life. So that actually what happens is that we might say, "Well, you know, I just can't help myself. You know, I know it's wrong to be jealous, but I just indulge myself in jealousy. And I know that Christ has forgiven me. And so I'll just come back to Jesus and I'll say, well, Jesus, thank you that you've forgiven me on the cross, but I'll just go on being jealous again the next day. Or maybe, you know, we'll be envious of somebody and I'll just allow myself some envy. And I know it's wrong, but I'll just come back and Jesus will forgive me again. Or we might watch pornography for 20 minutes and say, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but, you know, I know God's going to forgive me. So I'll just come back and I'll do it again. And I know he's going to forgive me. But actually, the key is this, is that we know that through Christ is that we're no longer slaves to sin. So therefore, the Christian should not live as a slave to sin, but be seen as righteous. So that therefore, that's where sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit comes in, where we're a new creation, where we live differently, where we don't say, well, you just don't know my problems because I always get caught in this pattern of sin and I know Jesus will forgive me and I'll keep coming back and I'll keep coming back. And we have to say, no, that's no different really, is it, to other people who just mess up. We know Christ. We are a new creation. The power of sin has been broken in your life. And therefore, you don't need to keep going on sinning, sinning, sinning. So does that mean to say that you're perfect? No, it doesn't. Does that mean to say that you and I will sin? Yes, it does. But we're allowing temptation to come away and to give into that. And so actually what we find in this demonstration of what it means to be one with Christ is that we are no longer slaves to sin. And the way we see ourselves is so incredibly important. You know, there's a story of a regime that had people as slaves. And when they were set free from being a slave, they would then sort of cowl at seeing somebody, even though they were free, who had them in slavery. Because they therefore in their mind just thought, well, yeah, I know I'm free, but I don't feel like I'm free because I'm seeing these people that held me captive. And as Christians, we need to be able to see that actually the power of sin has been broken and so that we live a new life. And yes, we are tempted to sin. And we will mess up. And yes, we can ask for forgiveness. But the starting point is to see yourself and myself as being righteous in Christ, because that was the work of the cross. That's why Christ took your pain and suffering and sin onto himself, in order that in taking it on himself, you might be set free and that you might be brought from death to life. That he didn't die so that bad people would just become good, so that people who are dead would become alive. And we can be alive today, even if you don't feel like it, you didn't have much sleep last night, your kids are bugging you, whatever, you're struggling at work, you can be free in Christ today because of the work of the cross. And it's about him and for him, and knowing him is it starts with him and it ends with him. And it's all about Jesus making the difference that we can be alive in Christ, no longer under condemnation, no longer under guilt, but free and free indeed. So that we can be one with Christ. But we can also live forever. So now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Isn't that amazing? That we no longer need to fear death. That death has lost its sting. That those of you that might struggle with the thought of not being here and what's going to happen, he's overcome death in order that we might have eternal life. And as Martin was saying, you know, these things in earth are just so temporary, yet the things that we worry about so much are about the temporary things, aren't they? They're about money and they're about a car and paying the bills, and these are all real things that we experience in life. But the perspective that we're told to have is no longer being slaves to sin, being seen as righteous, having that union with Christ, is that death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So we can, in putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, have eternal life. Do we know that assurance today? That we have eternal life, that we've been forgiven, that Christ is enough today? Do we know that? Can we hold on to that truth? And if we can we rejoice in that in the midst of our storms that we face day in, day out? But the D of bold is that we are different, of a different life. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. So what Paul is doing here is he keeps bringing to us this image, and it's very clear of what it is to be dead but now alive. And yet we so often forget it. So we're not kind of in between. We're not just some kind of sleepy kind of person spiritually, but that we're either dead or alive. So he's saying, count yourself dead to sin. Count yourself dead to sin, that you are free from the power of sin upon your life, being a master and being a slave to sin. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. How do we know true forgiveness? How do we know what it is to walk and be holy as he is holy through the power of the Holy Spirit? It's because we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's the work of Christ on the cross that enables us to be free. So it's not about us trying to find freedom from somewhere over there or from somewhere over there. It's about ultimately finding our freedom in Christ through his work on the death of the cross. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. And that's possible, isn't it? It's possible for us to choose to sin, to allow that sin to reign in our mortal body, and for allow us to obey those evil desires that we may still have, that we live like the old man, as it were, the old woman, the old person, but we're not living like a new person in Christ. But when we see ourselves as being in Christ, there should be a change and a transformation that takes place in our life through the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's something that we can do in this. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Because in Christ we are alive, we should live a different life. There should be evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. When people look at us, they shouldn't just say, well, there's a guy or a girl who goes to church and they're a little bit religious. When people look at you in your workplace, they shouldn't just say, oh, well, they're just a bit Christian-y, like Ned Flanders out of The Simpsons or something. There should be a distinct difference in our life because of the work of Christ in our life that actually transforms our life in the way that we live our life day by day. So there's a different life in terms of being bold in living for Christ. And we read in these last verses, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And as I looked at this, I was thinking, you know, instrument is kind of a bit of a weird word. It's not a word that you use every day, apart from musical instruments or instruments in surgery. But in the original Greek, instrument really, really means more like a weapon. And I thought that really brings to this text a slightly different angle, doesn't it? Because we're aware that we're in a battle, a spiritual battle. We know that life is not always straightforward, but that we offer ourselves to God as we've been brought from death to life, and that every part of yourself is an instrument of righteousness. So in other words, we don't use that weapon for bad or destruction, but for good, for the righteousness of Christ, so that we battle with him and for him in righteousness in Christ. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And there's this great quote that I read, which I thought was helpful, which has just disappeared, but I'll get it back. For your part, remove your bodily members from the battle line where they serve sin as weapons of unrighteousness, and present for duty to God as weapons of his righteousness. And it's this reminder, isn't it, that we want to obey something or someone, that we will choose to follow someone or something. But we're told to, for your part, remove your bodily members from the battle line where they serve as weapons of unrighteousness and present for duty as weapons of his righteousness. So that actually we mindfully wake up each day and say, I'm going to serve Christ and love Christ and love other people because this is who I am in Christ. We start the day reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ. That his work on the cross is enough. That we are seen as righteous. We're no longer slaves to sin. That we can walk in righteousness with him. That we can be instruments of righteousness for him in the school and the college and the workplace, in the home, in the family. We can be instruments that make a difference. Instruments that impact the whole of society and the world that we live in. That this isn't just about a personal faith that we cozy up on the couch with a bowl of Heinz tomato soup and some bread and say, isn't it wonderful that Jesus loves me? But that we are instruments of righteousness as we are seen as righteousness, that we will make a difference, that we will be salt and light in the world, that the world will see that Jesus is alive and that we are alive and that we're no longer dead, but that we've been brought from death to life, and that in being brought from death to life, we know that we are the people that God has called us to be, and we make a difference for his glory and for his fame. So being bold is that we're baptized into Christ, that we're one with Christ, that we live forever, that we live a different life. That's what it is to be bold in Christ, to know Christ. So I wonder what our response is to that today. My hope and prayer is that for some of us who struggle with guilt, particularly guilt, that we would see that we can be free in Christ and seen as righteous as he sees us as righteous. That it's not about what you've done in your past per se, because that's not what defines you. It's about bringing those things to the cross and saying, thank you that you've forgiven me for my sins past, but thank you that you forgive me for my sins present and future, but I do not want to walk in the ways of unrighteousness. I want to be somebody who is seen as not a slave to sin, but as someone who's righteous. And I want to be walking in my true identity in Christ. And if you're somebody this morning who's maybe struggled with guilt for years, maybe it's part of your upbringing or even your church upbringing, know that you can be free in Christ, no longer plagued by guilt, but that you can be alive in Christ as he promises, that he sees you this morning as righteous, and that today is a new day. New are his mercies every morning. And maybe for some of us here today, I don't know everybody here, you maybe never taken that step of actually trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never taken that step of obedience as we've heard about and seen this morning. I don't know all what goes on in your heart and mind, but I know that God does. And I know that the Holy Spirit works through his word, and I know that he can speak into the very core of our being. But what I want us to hold on to this morning is that we have moved from death to life, that we're seen as righteous, no longer slaves, but this morning we can be free in Christ, trusting in the work and the blood of Christ on cross, which washes us whiter, whiter, whiter than the snow. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you recognizing that we are so in need of your help and the Holy Spirit. We recognize that we need your word to remind us of what is true, what is right, and you've revealed yourself in your word so clearly. So I pray just now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and apply your word to our hearts and minds. Let's just take a moment just to be still and ask, Lord, what are you saying to me from what we've heard this morning? What are you saying? So, Father, we thank you that you're at work by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you continue to speak to us. Thank you that you wash us whiter than the snow through Christ, that we can find true forgiveness and freedom in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.